Let's all stand for the reading of God's holy word. Even in the back there, everybody stand for the reading of God's holy word. How the saints of God should pray. Part 4. The Just Jesus Evangelistic Campaign, Day 484, since January the 20th, 2017, / Day 851, since January the 1st, 2016. The Bible reads in Matthew chapter 6, verses 9 through 13, After this manner, therefore, pray ye. And this comes after Jesus basically taught all of us, after this manner, don't pray ye. After this manner, therefore, pray ye. Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever. Amen. Holy Father God, we thank you for your holy word. We pray that your Holy Spirit would take your holy word and drive it to our hearts and our minds in new and fresh ways with great meaning, and in such a way that would glorify your holy name and lift up your holy Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, and draw all men unto him for salvation and all Christians unto him in prayer. In Jesus Christ's name we pray and for his sake. Amen. You may be seated. Ladies and gentlemen, as we continue looking at the Lord's Prayer or the Disciples' Prayer, let's return to the first part of the prayer in which we understand we ought to give God glory, we ought to praise and reverence God's name. Hallowed be your name. Amen, somebody. Jesus says, after this manner, therefore pray ye. Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. And this is not only recognizing God's name, but reverencing his name, honoring his name. And it reminds us that we ought not to come before God and his throne of grace in a flippant manner. Ladies and gentlemen, on yesterday we talked about the importance of recognizing, reverencing, and submitting ourselves to God as our Father, whose name and character is holy. However, even as we recognize God's holiness in our prayers, this does not mean he is distant or removed from us. He's right here. He's right there. God is everywhere. He is still our Father who art in heaven. Just as a father is eager and willing to provide for the needs and desires of his children, God is eager and willing to provide for our needs and desires as well. Every good father I know, when they go out the house and they are traveling here and there and doing what they have to do, if they have little children at home, they are thinking about always, what can I get my children? What can I get my little children? It's just as natural as it can be. And we're evil, and we think that way. When my children were much younger, that's how I thought. As I was traveling back home, I would always be thinking, what can I stop by the store and get my children? What is something I had as a child that they would just love? I can't give it to them as much as I had it because it's not good for them. Such things as now-laters and such things as caramel popcorn, Cracker Jacks and stuff like that, which I just loved as a child. I always wanted to bring home something to my children. Now, we're evil and we are like that as fathers. Just imagine how eager God is to hear our prayers and give us some good things that we desire if we're willing to trust in him and be obedient to him. Amen, somebody. And I'm a living witness that God is good, that God our Father is good. I am a living witness that God is eager to hear our prayers and to bless us with the things we need and at times the good things we desire. It is simply his nature as Father. Dr. Ray Stedman said, someone has pointed out that this word Father answers all the philosophical questions about the nature of God, our Father. A father is a person, therefore, God is not a blind force behind the inscrutable machinery of the universe. A father is able to hear, and God is not simply an impersonal being aloof from all our troubles and our problems and pains. And above all, a father is predisposed by his love and relationship to give a cheerful, attentive ear to what his child says. This is the way God is. You've seen big old 265-pound football players, 6'6". They don't hear the crowd. They don't hear even their wife sometimes. But you let that little girl try to say something to him, that little girl. Other people might be trying to get an autograph and pulling on him. But you let that little girl pull on his leg and say, Papa, or say, Daddy, you watch. Hold on. You watch that big old fella. He'll ignore everybody else, and he'll pick that little girl up, or he'll bend down as tall as he'll bend all the way down. And what'd you say, baby? Oh, yes, he will. That's a father for you. And we're evil, and we're sinful, and we're that way. And God is far, far better than that. He's the greatest of all fathers. And if you come before him humbly, with a clean heart and a clean mind and clean hands, under the blood of Jesus Christ, God in heaven will bend down and hear your prayers. And I'm a living witness, and I am the least deserving of his children to get my prayers answered. And I'm standing before you today flat-footed, and I lie not. God has answered literally thousands and thousands of my prayers to him down through the years. That's why I say his love is beyond measure. His mercy and grace is out of this world. It is off the chain and off the charts. Believe me when I tell you that. And if God will hear my prayers, surely he'll hear yours. So from a father, a child can surely expect a reply. Not only a listening ear, but a reply. That big old 265-pound, 6'6 football player would bend down and hear that little 2 or 3-year-old girl, and he'll bend all the way down, and then he'll pick her up, and she'll say, "May I have a candy apple?" And he'll say, "Sure, honey. Let's go get it right now." And that's something she doesn't even need. But because he loves her, he'll move heaven and earth to go find her a candy apple. Oh, he'll do it. Oh, he'll do it. Oh, yes. God is interested in what we have to say. Just like every good human father. Now, when the children get older and they are more cantankerous and temperamental, and they may ask for something or want something and try to get it with a bad attitude, a good father is going to say, "No, you can't have it." By the way, I got most of my prayers answered, if you will, when I was a young babe in Christ, a young Christian. I've prayed some things down through the years that God told me straight up, "No, you cannot do that. You know that. You know better than that." A father, therefore, may be expected to reply to us. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. What is our responsibility to our Father God in heaven? Our responsibility, beloved, is to hallow or sanctify his name in every part of our lives, not just with our words. It is not enough to acknowledge God, recognize God, reverence God as holy with our mouths only, if we do not acknowledge him, honor him, respect him, reverence him, recognize him as holy with our lives. Can somebody say amen? Part of acknowledging him as holy with our lives is obeying his commands and representing him in a worthy manner on the earth. For the Bible tells us that God wants us to be holy as he is holy. We hallow God's name not only by verbal affirmation, but by adhering to God's commands. "Be ye holy, for I am holy." "Be ye holy, for I am holy." Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. And so, beloved, in closing, we see that there is a two-pronged application to our praise, to our worship, to our acknowledgement, our recognition, our reverence of God in our prayers. First, we acknowledge him for who he is as our Father. And if you can, by the grace of God, keep in mind that God is your Father, that he has all authority over you because not only did he birth you into the world, he created you. And ultimately, he has more authority than your natural father and mother. Now, you wouldn't believe that the way some people carry on today. Some fathers and mothers who try to usurp the authority over God, and that won't happen. By the way, particularly with your grown children. And then we have the parents who love the authority and the power over their children while raising them up, but they don't submit to God in raising them up. And he allows, and they allow the children to grow wild and woolly and full of hell and the devil, not bearing their image and certainly not bearing God's image. Reminds me of some children who wanted a puppy, wanted a dog so badly. They loved the dogs. They loved the idea of having a dog. They loved the dog. They wanted the dog. They loved the love that the dog gave them. Their father who bought them the dog said, "Now you're going to have to take care of this dog. You're going to have to feed the dog. You're going to have to pick up the dog's poop. You're going to have to bathe the dog. You're going to have to train the dog." And they said, "Yes, sir, yes, sir, yes, sir, we will." Kind of like the Israelites who told God, "We'll do it, we'll do it." The Israelites told God, "We'll do it, we'll do it," and they didn't do it. Jesus has some folk like that as well. And we all have some folk like that in our family. Who they love the idea of something, but they're not willing to take care of it. We got parents who love the idea of having sex and having a child or two or three. And they have in their minds how wonderful it's going to be. And then back to the children with the dog, they loved the love that the dog gave, but they did not raise the dog properly. They did not train the dog. And the beautiful dog became ugly in some of her ways that nobody liked. And things like she would not come when you called her. She wouldn't listen when you called out of the street, oftentimes almost dying, running away, getting lost, disobedient, kind of like how the children were. And by the way, ladies and gentlemen, we have parents today the same way. They want children, they want little children, but they don't want to do what God has commanded them to do, to take care of those children and to raise those children so that the children will look at least a little bit like they look in their lives as far as character and integrity is concerned, but more importantly, that they look like Jesus. And they don't become millennials running away from the church instead of to the church. May God help us. Now, God our Father is all of that and more. He changes not. He is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And he's going to do his job. But he's delegated some things to you as Father and Mother. And if you don't do your job, you're going to get into trouble with God the Father. That's all free. And so, beloved, when we acknowledge him, God, as Father, We are saying that we are totally dependent on Him for our needs, and that we are trusting in Him to supply those needs, not only physically, not only materially, not only food-wise, but spiritually in every area of our lives. Some of you, dear folks, today, you're depressed. You're defeated. You're disgusted. And you're lonely. Well, God can take care of all of that too. You don't need Ambien. You don't need a pill. Isn't it amazing how we in our sinful nature as human beings, we think we can solve all problems with a pill. What's wrong with some of our children today is years ago, the school system thought they could solve the problem in boys to make boys sit still like girls and learn something by giving them a pill called Ritalin. And now we got boys who are crazy and walking around here with breasts and acting like effeminate and are turning into homosexuals. And I believe the government knew that was going to happen, and that's why they got everybody ready to receive an explosion of homosexuals into our society. But be that as it may, I digress. Your solution is not an appeal. Your solution, beloved, is in God and obeying God and loving God back and trusting Him and fearing Him and obeying Him and being faithful to Him. God is your solution. Your Father is your solution for every need that you have in life. Nobody can fill the voids in your life like God through Jesus Christ. In addition to that, we acknowledge, beloved, God as the one and only holy God who will not overlook evil, evil conduct, and who demands that we live holy lives as His children. By His grace, a holy life generated by the Holy Spirit in us, which gives God all of the glory, praise, and honor, because we can't live a holy life without Him. I hope you understand. But with the power of the Holy Spirit and the power of the Holy Word of God, this gives us more confidence when we go to Him in prayer, because we know that our Heavenly Father is pleased with us and truly wants to hear and answer our prayers. Jesus said, "If you love me, keep my commandments." You do know that your sins need to be confessed and repented of, and you need to be an obedient child to hear, to have God to hear your prayers and to answer your prayers. I hope you understand that. God does not want you to expect that you can live any kind of way and just come to Him and pray for what you want to pray for and think that He's going to hear and answer your prayers. The Bible talks about how that if we regard iniquity in our heart, God will not hear us. So don't think that way. That's foolish thinking. And we do have people in the church who think they can live any kind of way, shack up with Bo Peep, shack up with Sylvia, have a girlfriend on the side, have a boyfriend on the side, having sex in the apartment, live a life of lying and dishonesty and whoredom, quiet sin and quiet desperation, and you wonder why God, you can't get anything, you can't get an answer from God, and it seems like the sky is still to you, and your prayers can't get through, and you can't get any prayers answered. God is still there, and he's probably in the process of chastising you so that you would confess your sins and repent and stop your lying, stop your shacking up, stop your stealing, stop walking out of his will, so that he can hear your prayers and answer your prayers and give you the good life in Christ. And so, beloved, our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Dr. Henry H. Tweedy wrote, O gracious Father of mankind, our spirit's unseen friend, high heavens, Lord, our heart's dear guest, to thee our prayers ascend. Thou doest not wait till human speech thy gifts divine implore. Our dreams, our aims, our work, our lives, our prayers thou lovest more. Let's all stand and pray. Holy Father God, we praise you and we thank you for your holy word, for your order, for your decency in causing things to go orderly and decently without confusion. And we thank you for protecting us from the devil and his demonic forces and Judas's and Sanballat's and Tobias's. And we thank you for surrounding us with your protection, a band of your holy angels, a wall of your holy fire. And Holy Father God, we pray that you would help us to honor you, to recognize you, to reverence you, to praise you as our Heavenly Father, to confess our sins and to repent of our sins as Christians, and to pray aright, and to pray in faith, believing, expecting you to hear and answer our prayers, because we're living according to your way and will. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Save those souls that are nearest to hell and reclaim those who are backslidden to yourself by the power, the unction, and the anointing of your Holy Spirit and your holy word that does not go out and come back void. In Jesus Christ's name we pray and forsake. Amen. You may be seated. Now, beloved, if you are with us today in closing and you do not know the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior in the free pardon of all of your sins, allow me to show you how you can put your faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ for your salvation from sin and hell. First, accept the fact that you are a sinner and that you have broken God's laws. The Bible says in Romans 3:23, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Secondly, accept the fact that there is a penalty for sin. For the Bible states in Romans 6:23, for the wages of sin is death. Third, accept the fact that you are on the road to hell right now. Jesus Christ said in Matthew 10:28, and fear not them which kill the body, but are not able to kill the soul, but rather fear him which is able to destroy both soul and body in hell. Hell is an awful place. The lake of fire is a sad place and a sad subject. But God wants you to know that's where you're going if you do not trust in his Holy Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. For his Holy Son, Jesus Christ, paid your sin debt. Your sin debt is already paid. All you have to do is receive it. All you have to do is come by and collect it, if you will. It is a gift. It's a free gift. And all you have to do is trust Christ as Savior. Believe in your heart the gospel that Jesus Christ died for your sins, was buried, and rose again. Yes, hell is bad news. The lake of fire is a terrible place. But I have some good news for you. Jesus Christ said also in John 3:16, "For God so loved the world." If you're in this world, that means that God loves you. I don't care what you have done, who you did it with, and where you did it, how many times you did it. For God so loved the world, that includes you, that he gave his only begotten son. What a sacrifice. Jesus Christ, God in the flesh, Emmanuel with us, the Lamb of God who took away the sins of the world. The Bible says that whosoever, that word whosoever means anybody at any time in history, believeth in him, believeth in Christ, he was speaking about himself, should not perish, that is perish in hell, but have everlasting life, that is in heaven with God. So, dear friend of mine, just believe in your heart in the Lord Jesus Christ. Believe that he died for your sins, was buried, and rose from the dead by the power of God. And there were witnesses who saw him after he rose from the dead. Mary Magdalene, the other women with her, all of the disciples, and over 500 other brethren saw Jesus after he rose from the dead. The brothers on the Emmaus Road saw him as well and spoke to him. He's alive and well. He's at the right hand of God, but he's here with us today witnessing my preaching and witnessing your decision. As Dr. Billy Graham brought out, you have a decision to make, to trust Christ or to reject him. And I implore you, I encourage you very strongly to trust Christ as Savior. Today I highly recommend him to you. I can't save you, Billy Graham can't save you, but Jesus can save you. So believe in your heart in the Lord Jesus Christ. Believe that he died for your sins. He shed his blood on the cross for your sins. He suffered for you. He went through your hell so that you would not have to go through hell. He paid the price. He rose again on the third day. And all you have to do is believe in him. Pray and ask him to save your soul, and he will save you today. For the Bible says in Romans chapter 10, verse 9 and verse 13, that if you shall confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and shall believe in your heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou you shalt be saved. Saved. Anthony Bourdain looked in the mirror one day when he was getting high on drugs. And he said, he looked at himself and he said, "That is somebody I would like to save. That's somebody that I would like to save." And he said, "That's that decision to save, save himself, so to speak, from drugs, was what delivered him from that stronghold of heroin on him so many years ago." And come to find out, he was one of the most gifted and most talented storytellers in recent history. The problem is, Bourdain or nobody else can save themselves from hell. We cannot save ourselves. We cannot work our way into salvation. We can't build our way. We can't use even our talent to save ourselves from the hell to come. The Bible says, for whosoever, there's that word again, whosoever means anybody at any time. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Saved from what? Not only from ourselves, not only from drugs, not only from alcoholism, not only from pornography, but to save ourselves from sin and the punishment of sin, which is hell. If you want to be saved from that, then believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, the Bible says, and thou you shall be saved. And all you have to do is pray and ask God to save your soul as you believe in your heart on his Son, Jesus Christ. And I'll be glad to lead you in this simple prayer called the Sinner's Prayer. In the words of Billy Graham, salvation is not hard for us. It was hard for God. It was hard for Jesus. But they made it easy for us. And why wouldn't he? Why wouldn't God make it easy for such ignorant and sinful people as we are? The last thing we need is a difficult salvation. It's not hard. Just put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ. Millions have been saved. Millions can give you a testimony through simple faith in Christ and praying and asking God to save them because of Christ. They'll tell you that their lives were instantaneously changed. And yours can be changed as well. So follow me in prayer. Repeat after me and mean it from your heart. Holy Father God, I acknowledge that I am a sinner. Lord, I know that I've done evil in your sight. I'm just as wicked as the next person. I have broken your Ten Commandments. I've committed crimes against heaven. Lord, it's hard for my proud flesh to admit it. But Lord, I've broken your Ten Commandments. I've lied so many times that I cannot even count them. I have stolen things before. I have coveted and lusted after many people and many material things. I've taken your holy name in vain. For Jesus Christ's sake, please forgive me of all of my ugly sins. As I now believe with all of my heart in the Lord Jesus Christ, your holy Son and our Savior, who died on the cross for my sins, who suffered, bled, and died on the cross for my sins, was buried, and then rose up on the third day. Lord Jesus, please come into my heart. I believe in you. Save my soul and change my life. Fill me with your Holy Spirit and help me to repent and to turn away from my sins and to follow you in the new life. In Jesus Christ's name I pray and for his sake, amen. Cleanse each bond, O Lamb of God, I come. I come. Dear friend of mine, if you believed in your heart in the Lord Jesus Christ, based upon the Word of God, believing in your heart that he died for your sins on the cross, he suffered, he bled, he died on the cross for your sins, that he was buried because he truly died, and he rose again on the third day, allow me to say to you, congratulations on doing the most important thing in Christ, the only thing that Christ requires of you, and that is to believe on him. That is trusting him as your Savior, trusting Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. For more information to help you grow in your newfound faith in Christ, please go to GospelLightSociety.com and read my pamphlet, What to Do After You Enter Through the Door. Jesus Christ said in John 10:9, I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved, and shall go in and out and find pasture. Dear friend, if you trust that Jesus Christ is your Lord and Savior today, please email me at dw3@gospellightsociety.com and let us know. We have some free material that we want to send you. If you have a prayer request, please email that to us as well, and we will pray for you until you tell us to stop. Until next time, beloved, if the Lord tarries his coming and we live, that'll be tomorrow. God loves you, we love you, and may God bless you real good is our prayer.
I don't know why Jesus loved me.